Pray with me. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The Old Testament reading and the gospel reading today are powerful stories. How God breaks into our lives and changes how we understand the world and ourselves. God opens up our hearts and minds to better understand what shapes our identity and how He will change our understanding of that identity. To see ourselves as named and claimed to be God's children. And the one way He does this is in worship. Centuries ago, during the time that northern Israel was taken, about to be taken by Assyria, the country that was eating up all the small countries around it, Judah was in turmoil. The little country of Judah knew their days were probably numbered. But yet they paid tribute to Assyria in a desperate attempt to prevent their own demise. And secretly they tried to make allegiances with foreign nations. The king Uzziah, who had brought the country to prosperity, had just died. The nation was a mess. The identity of the people was in jeopardy during their struggles. Now, certainly we can relate today to Isaiah's circumstances. This inhospitable world has a way of threatening our identity as the church, threatening our presence in the world. Too many times we have lost our voice as the church and relied on government to help the poor and the sick. Too many times we've been silent when we should have spoken up against oppression and equality. When the struggles and challenges of the world seem too much to bear, and the world keeps calling us to see ourselves the way the world wants to see us, where do we go? Who can we turn to get help? During Isaiah's struggles, he went to church. He went to worship in the temple. He needed to experience the presence of the Lord. He wanted to hold on to his identity as God's people. We too go to worship to feel God's presence, to hear familiar words and participate in familiar actions. Words and actions in worship that have profound meaning, that help shape who we are as God's people and are means of God's amazing grace. The liturgy itself reminds us of that familiar tune. You know which one I'm talking about, that tune that gets stuck in your head all day and you can't get it out even if you want to. That's the liturgy, that familiar tune where we listen to God's heart song, calling us together to worship as God's people. In worship, we gather to hear the word proclaimed to us and receive the sacraments. And in doing so, this divine word of grace changes us, transforms our identity and our perceptions to experience the mystery and awesomeness of God. And yes, this experience also shows us our own sinfulness and weakness. It is in the temple that Isaiah says, as he is in the presence of God Almighty, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." Centuries later, a fisherman is on a lake. He comes back from a failed fishing trip. His livelihood depended on that catch. And he is confronted with the power and presence of God, not in the temple, but breaking into his life in the moment in his day-to-day job. God comes in the person of Jesus Christ. He shows up a lot of times in unexpected places, and when we least expect him. Jesus is tricky like that. When Jesus called Simon Peter to put out into the deep water and to let down his nets for a catch, the experienced fisherman, I'm sure, rolled his eyes and was like, I mean, if I can't catch it, how do you expect me to catch it again, Jesus? This is useless. But he obeyed Jesus' words and went out into the deep. Perhaps we too need to get into Simon's boat, the church, and listen to the words of Christ in the midst of the deep waters of the chaos around us. Peter is obedient to Christ, even though he does not understand how this will help. He has faith in his words, and as a result, he can scarcely haul in all the fish. He believed, he had faith in Christ, he listened to Christ's words, and he received Jesus' miracle, an unimaginable abundant catch. Not only does Peter obey Christ, but all creation obeys the Lord of creation, and this fish swim into the net. And in the midst of this awe-inspiring moment, when Peter is confronted with God's presence and power in his life, he falls before Jesus in awe and in worship. Ironically, the crowd earlier tried to press in on Jesus, but now Peter says to Jesus, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." Like Isaiah, when Peter is confronted with the holiness, purity, goodness, and true love of God, he cannot help but feel his own sinfulness, his own unworthiness, which inevitably leads to confession. And so it is with the church. Here in this place, as we encounter Jesus the Christ in word and sacrament, we kneel in confession. And that same power of God in Christ Jesus that compels us to kneel and worship in confession is the same power of God in Christ Jesus that lifts us up and into the life of the triune God. Just as Isaiah's guilt was departed and his sin was blotted out when his lips touched the live coal from the altar, so we are given forgiveness of sin and new life when we receive Christ himself in his body and blood at the altar, at his holy table in the Eucharist. And after we have been transformed by our Lord Jesus Christ's divine presence, we are ready to go out and proclaim to the world that Christ is risen. We are empowered and equipped by Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit to say to God when he calls us to mission. And make it no mistake, he calls every single one of us to mission. And empowered by the Spirit, we can say, "Here am I, send me." Jesus tells Peter, and he tells us, the church, "From now on, you will be catching people." This is more than just an invitation. This is a declaration. The lives of Peter and the other disciples have been changed. Jesus sets them on a new path. Now, because of Jesus, these fishermen, who were at the height of their career, they just received the greatest catch of their lives. Yet the disciples leave everything, their prosperity, their success, for a new life following Jesus. They will now fish for people, proclaiming the gospel so that others can be called up in God's net of Christ's grace and love. so others too can be redeemed and saved. The church has continued to cast its net deep in the chaos of the world, drawing people out of the darkness of ignorance and sin and into the boat of the church. It's in the church, in the midst of Christ who comes in word and sacrament, that we are saved and redeemed for eternal life with God. And our identity is not connected to the world. Our identity has been changed. We are God's children. We are Christ's disciples, His friends, His brothers and sisters. And we are fishermen who fish for people. And this new identity changes everything. Because Christ places claim on our entire lives, every aspect of it. In the chaos and struggle of life, Christ will use these things to mold us into His likeness, shaping our identity as God's people. And in the midst of the ordinary routine of life, Jesus shows up and shows out and calls us to go out into the unknown to meet people. To meet people in the messiness of their lives, in the midst of their suffering, to go out, to invite others to know Christ, to let down our net of Jesus' love, so others can be gathered into His grace and into the kingdom of God. In Christ, we define who we are, not by our struggles or our accomplishments, not by this job or that job, but our identity as God's children, as followers of Christ, who are redeemed and saved, who are drawn into the abundant love and eternal life of God. And we are sent out by Christ to bring others into the kingdom of God, so their perceptions of the world, their understanding of the true reality has changed, so they can see that they too are changing because of Christ. So they too can encounter Christ, be redeemed, saved, and have new life. It seems to me like it's a good day to go fishing. Amen.